Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ryan Giordano, and as always, we like to bring you current topics and subjects. We're broadcasting from 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Our guest today is Barbara McPherson. She is the Grand Chancellor of the Women of Moose. Barbara, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
So, Barbara, you talk about the Moose. Can you tell us a little bit, maybe start with the early history of the Moose? That might be good.
Well, the early history of the Moose pretty old, actually. The Loyal Order of Moose was founded in Louisville, Kentucky in the spring of 1888. So that's a long, long time ago by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Henry Wilson. The Moose organization was originally intended strictly as a men's social club. And shortly, we began to found lodges in Cincinnati, Ohio, St. Louis, Missouri, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort, Indiana. And the unfortunate thing is the early days of the Moose were not very prosperous. And in fact, Dr. Wilson himself kind of became dissatisfied and left the order of the Moose before the turn of the century. So in the fall of 1906, the order had only two Indiana lodges remaining and a very small membership. On October 27th of that year, an iron puddler from the steel mills of Pennsylvania by the name of James J. Davis, he became the 247th member of the order. And he had great plans and visions for what the order could be. He was a Welsh immigrant who'd come to the U.S. as a child, not only worked in the steel mills, but was also an active labor organizer. Later on in his life, he became Secretary of Labor during the Harding administration, and he saw the order as a way to provide a safety net for the working class membership using a low annual membership of, say, $10 or $15, which in 2021 was the equivalent of $300 or $400 annually.
Wow.
So after giving a great address to the whole seven delegates at the 1906 International Moose Convention, he was appointed as the supreme organizer of the order. He had a group of people that set out to recruit members and establish our lodges throughout the United States and Canada. And very successful he was. And of course, the organization grew to nearly 500,000 members in 1,000 lodges by 1912.
Wow, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, so he did a pretty great job of promoting, but he had, you know, the gentlemen always have great visions and great dreams of things to be. So.
And what about this thing with the Director General? Can you tell us about that?
The Director General. Okay, so he was, the Director General for many years was the CEO of the entire organization. And as you may or may not know to some of your listeners, Moose International supports two facilities, one being Moose Heart Child City and School right down the road from you in Moose Heart, Illinois, located between Batavia and North Aurora, and another facility called Moose Haven, which is where I reside in Orange Park, Florida. It's in the northeast corner, just a little south and west of Jacksonville. So as the Director General, he's the CEO of, you know, the membership and all of the entities that become part of Moose International.
So, Barbara, those two locations, who qualifies to be in either one location, and how do you wind up at the location you're in Florida?
Okay, so first I'd like to talk a little bit about, because it did come first, about Moose Heart Child City and School,
okay,
which, like I say, is located down between Batavia and North Aurora, was founded in 1913. And as a Welsh immigrant, you know, and as I said, he was an iron puddler. So he would see gentlemen who would, for whatever reason, factory accidents or coal mines, because of the unions that he was involved with, And unfortunately, when the man, the breadwinner of the family at the time, would pass away, his wife and children were left to fend for themselves. And so James J. Davis's dream was to build a facility that would care for the wife and children of deceased members. And that he did. And so Moose Heart was founded in 1913, or dedicated rather. The facility that I live in, Moose Haven, was another vision of his and a gentleman by the name of Rodney Brandon, for the senior members of the organization who perhaps, you know, just don't want to deal with the daily things of life, and they can retire in peace and contentment based on their years of service to the organization and being the age of 65.
Well, going back to Moose Heart for a minute, that's what that started out, 750 acres, is that correct? The Brookline Farm?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And that was a dairy farm near Batavia, Illinois.
Yes, yes.
And then they had
Centrally located, in fact, which is kind of why they chose that location.
And then they had a 1,200 acres later, if I want to understand. And then the property was named Moose Heart, I think, was it 1913?
Correct. And Moose Heart actually has its own zip code, and it has its own postal facility. And for many years, Moose Heart was pretty much self-contained. I know as a child growing up in McHenry County, Moose Heart always had prize-winning Holsteins at the McHenry County Fair. And they were very proud of their projects. And we saw them quite often. Moose Heart was founded, a gentleman by the name of Thomas Marshall, who was the vice president of the United States at that time, gave a rousing speech at the dedication. And it started simply as a school. And like I say, it soon grew to become its own small little unincorporated village and the hub of the organization. There is housed the Moose International building, which is the headquarters for what was known as the Loyal Order of Moose for many years, as well as the Women of the Moose. The population of Moose Heart children by 1920 grew to a population of 1,000 and reached a peak of 1,800 during the Great Depression and World War II. You have to remember, a lot of gentlemen, you know, passed away during the Depression. A lot of men were killed during World War II. And so what a better place for the wife and children to be taken care of. We currently have a capacity of 300. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, DCFS and their minimum requirements of, sure, you know, square footage per child and all those kinds of things.
And Barb, how does John Linz come into play?
John Linz.
Yeah, he was the Ohio congressman, I think, and Supreme Council member.
Yes. So the Supreme Council is known as the governing body, or was known as the governing body at the time. And it was a volunteer position. And of course, he was the one who made the motion that we follow through. And, he came up with the name Moose Heart. It's the Loyal Order of Moose organization. And we are the heart of the organization. And so let's call it Moose Heart. And thus, when we came to creating Moose Haven, we kind of went down that same path, you know, provided for by the Moose organization. And it's a haven for the seniors of our order.
So Barbara, how'd they pick Orange Park, Florida? Do you know, for the location for that?
Well, I do. Moose Haven was founded in 1922. And they were looking for a place, of course, where it's warm, where, you know, the senior members of the organization would love to live. And they found, it was called the Hotel Marion. At the time, it was up for sale. It sits right on the banks of the St. John's River in Orange Park. And originally, when they purchased the property in 1922, it was 26 acres. 20 of our Moose members came, some were actually staying at Moose Heart, and they came down here and they became the first residents. One of the interesting concepts of Moose Haven, which is actually relevant to, I'm going to say, the Clay County area, which is where we are, the original concept was to organize the residents so that they might be able to help each other and help themselves. And at the same time, provide from their own energy the major part of the cost of their upkeep. So if you look back through the history of Clay County, they will tell you and have said in numerous newspaper articles that actually Moose Haven being built and the Moose coming to Orange Park actually saved the city of Orange Park because of the residents and the fundraisers that they had. And they bought the city of Orange Park, that was probably a village at that time, but they bought them their first fire truck. And it was just a very exciting time for the Orange Park, Clay County area. And Moose Haven, of course, has continued to grow. We now have 63 acres and 279 residents living in various locations.
We're going to pause for just a moment to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And we're talking to Bob McPherson from the Moose organization. With Moose Haven, Barb, I understand that you also have, there's independent living there, but also there's care through Alzheimer's and assisted living too, that's in that area?
Yes, that's exactly correct. My husband and I happen to live in a portion of Moose Haven, which is considered it's called a CCRC, and now that has completely left my mind what that means, but it's an area.
You're doing fine. Yeah, I mean, what you've given us so far is pretty good, remembering all those dates, Barb, I'll tell you.
Yeah, where you pay an entrance fee, and then you pay a monthly maintenance fee, and a portion of your entrance fee and your monthly maintenance goes for, continuous care retirement community. And so a portion of both of those fees that you pay goes towards your continuous care. Now, that said, I happen to think I'm one of the younger residents on campus. And at some point in my life, I may need assisted living. I may need dementia care. I may need skilled nursing. Or we even have an Alzheimer's unit that was funded fully by the Women of the Moose. So it's from all levels of care. If I decide that I don't want to take care of our villa anymore, and I can move over to independent living in an apartment style facility, that's great. But the good news is we never have to leave Moose Haven until the day we pass.
Is that fully occupied, the Moose Haven, the villas or the apartments?
We have, I know we have some more room. We have in the villas, I think we have like two left that are available. They're actually not villas themselves. The villa is a fancy name for a duplex. But we do have some Brandon Place apartments. They are in the process of adding a few more new apartments. I believe the new concept calls for 13 more. And we do have room in what I'm going to call independent living in the traditional program. As a resident of Moose Haven, originally The way the program was designed, you had to be a member of the organization for 15 years. You had to be age 65 or older. And upon admission to Moose Haven, you place all of your assets, including your monthly Social Security, into an account. Now, the members of this organization provide everything that you need. And those funds are put into that account, and your care is drawn from that account. But like we, the Women of the Moose, raise money for hearing aids. We raise money for physical therapy. You know, we raise funds for a lot of stuff, a lot of buildings. And so the good news is, once your account is depleted, we're not going to kick you out. We're going to continue to care for you in the same manner that we did when you came here with whatever assets you had. So that's the good news.
So the duplex, do you actually pay for the duplex, or is the duplex fee just pay the monthly fees?
Well, there's an entrance fee. So we don't technically own it, but it's ours to use until we decide we can't live here anymore.
Sure.
And then the maintenance fee is, used for like the upkeep, and everything is provided except for your gas and electric. So any maintenance that needs to be done, if I need a light bulb changed in the kitchen, all I have to do is call maintenance and they come and do it for me.
Okay.
Well, really nice.
In total, how many lodges do you have right now? Do you know, Barb?
There's roughly 1,300 across the United States, Canada, and Great Britain.
And how about membership? Now, how does that work? I see there's a note here up until May 2021. You had the organization was separated by gender?
Sure. So up until May 1st of 2021, as you stated, I am the CEO and Grand Chancellor of the Women of the Moose. So up until May 1st of 2021, the Loyal Order of Moose pretty much contained men. The Women of the Moose contained women. And on May 1st, 2021, we merged the two together. Now, through the course of service in the Moose, you are certainly able to earn various recognition opportunities. We call them degrees or honors. And in order to be able to earn those degrees or honors, you either belong to the Moose Legion, or now, post May 1, 2021, you belong to the Women of the Moose. And while a lot of fraternals are truly struggling with membership, I have to say the Moose at this point last year, ending April 30th of 2022, we had a gain in membership of over 5,000 members. And this year we're on target for the same.
And you have a lot of historical charitable and civic activity that you folks do too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of our there's a kind of a, it's one of my favorite sayings. The Moose is an organization of men and women dedicated to caring for children and seniors assisting our communities, which is what we do. And for example, I belong to the Woodstock Lodge up in Woodstock, Illinois. And for many years, we've done things such as, adopt the highway, Boy Scout troops, provided assistance to the Woodstock Food Pantry. There was a group of people who rode, people who are out of shape and out of age, by the way, rode bicycles 50 miles from Woodstock to Moose Heart to raise $32,000 for the Moose Heart School. We provide to various veterans organizations. I know the TLS, they've changed their name, TLS Veterans up in Hebron is one of our projects that we do. American Cancer Society, Special Olympics, the Safe Surfing Foundation, and combined, the organization actually does between $75 and $100 million worth of community service annually. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, boy, that sure is. And, you know, as we near the end of our show here, before we do end it, I wanted to get into some of the folks who are past members of the Moose, starting with presidents. You've got a long list there.
Absolutely. We have you know, a lot of people. In fact, I'm probably two of our current members who are the most famous country western singer, Jimmy Allen. And any of you NASCAR fans probably saw our own Ross Chastain, you know, with his melon move on the wall. And certainly Warren Harding, Franklin Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, Harry S. Truman, and I'm sure there were others. We've had several politicians, Evan Bay, Richard J. Daley out of Chicago, Tommy Thompson, Earl Warner. If you get into entertainers, Bud Abbott, Lou Costello, Ernest Borgnine, Charlie Chaplin, Harry Cording, Eric Estrada. He's a great spokesperson for the Safe Surfing Foundation, as well as the Moose. Jimmy Stewart, Danny Thomas, country music artist Daryl Worley. And then we get into athletes. I've got a lot of athletes. Larry Bird, Minute Bowl, Jason Couch, Jack Ham, Woody Hayes, Ted Hendricks, Bob Huggins. Just the list goes on and on. I could go, you know, Rocky Marciano, Arnold Palmer, Cal Ripken Sr., Gale Sayers, Billy Sims, Tony Stewart, Gene Tunney, Bill Veeck, Honus Wagner, and Donnell Wolford. You know, so there's a lot of very prominent people who have and still belong to the Moose, including some people like Eugene Cernan. In the Moose Museum down at Moose Heart, we have Eugene Cernan's membership card that he took with him to the moon in 1972.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. Henry Ford, you know, the inventor of the automobile. Virgil Grissom, Daryl Hammond. Daryl Hammond is a story in himself. Daryl Hammond is the founder and CEO of an organization called Kaboom. Kaboom builds playgrounds around the world. And Daryl is a graduate of Moose Heart High School. There's also a gentleman by the name of Edward Silk. He, too, was a Moose Heart class in 1935. Student there for many years, and he was the recipient of the Medal of Honor in World War II. He is out of Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And there's just so many people to, you know, these are just some that I kind of threw together, but so many that have been a part of this great organization for years of our members just having fun and celebrating life. It's just unbelievable.
I don't think that people realize the names that you just, you know, ran off just now, that all those people were Moose members or former Moose members. It's amazing, whether it be politicians or entertainers or athletes, that, in fact, even, you know, space astronauts, that they were members of the Moose. I mean, that's quite a broad picture that you painted there, Barb. And it shows that this is, you know, really a very, very wide scope of individuals working and helping towards the Moose, and with your efforts too. And you're still pretty active in the Moose, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I still work for Moose International. I work remotely. And in fact, next weekend, I'll be headed to Reno, Nevada for our board of directors meeting, as well as a meeting with some of our volunteer folks who help us throughout the country. In March, I'm headed to Long Beach, Washington, to attend their conference. And so, yes, Moose has been a very big part of the life of both myself and my husband for over 40 years. And so it's we've enjoyed every minute of it. And anybody who doesn't belong is really missing out.
Now, you know, Barb, as I sit here with our station director, Jim, and myself, now here you are, you belong to Moose and Woodstock, so you're avoiding the snow. You're down in Florida where it's warmer. You're going to Reno. I mean, oh, goodness, that's really kind of a neat deal.
Life is good. Life is good.
Well, before we sign off here, I just want to mention to everybody, you've been listening to Barb McPherson, the Grand Chancellor of Women of Moose. You're listening to 101.5 FM, Huntley Community Radio Station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com and click on Contact Us for more information. We want to thank Barb for being here today and being on our show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. You too.